Well, good afternoon. I'm sorry Mark Vinson isn't here today. Whenever I wear this jacket, he calls it my Easter jacket. So I thought I would wear it earlier, and so he wouldn't accuse me of that. But that's not the reason I wore it. I asked my wife, what jacket do you want me to wear today? And for you that don't know, she buys all my clothes and dresses me and so forth. And she picked this jacket out. She said, I really like that. Now, there's always been a discussion what color this is. And I get an enjoyment out of it because some women come up and say it's purple. And I tell them it's orchid. And they said, no, it's purple. I said, my wife said it's orchid. They say it's orchid. So I get a quick agreement because all I got to do is say my wife tells me what it is, and they all agree. And I'm glad they're getting new pictures. The last one that I got of me in there, my wife doesn't think it flatters me too much. It probably looks like me, but that isn't what we always want when we have new pictures taken. So if it doesn't turn out right, I got one up on the minister side on the website. That's a good one, probably 5 years old, but it looks better than I do today. Okay, how should we worship God? I was thinking about this and wanted to know if I was doing it correctly, and could I improve in the way that I worship God? So what I did was I just went into the computer and typed up worship and popped all the scriptures with worship in it, and I looked at the New Testament and to see what it said and how I should worship. And the one I run into that inspired me to give this sermon is John 4:23. So if you'll turn there, we'll see what John 4:23 says. It says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, and the Father seeks such to worship him. Now, when I started working on this, and then Mr. Swaggerty quoted John 17, and I'll come back to this one in a minute. We'll turn to John 17. And he was quoting verse 3. And the thing about his sermon was, what is eternal life? And it's in verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know the only, the true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So he was bringing out that this is how you know what eternal life is. But I got the head of this particular chapter 17. This is the real Lord's Prayer. This is when Jesus was praying to God. And he said, these words spoke Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So he was asking God the Father to glorify him and give him the body back that he had before he became a human being. And in verse 2, and he says, as thou, talking about God, has given him power over all flesh. So God the Father is the one that has the power over all flesh, and he gave it to Jesus, that he, Jesus, should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. So he can only give eternal life to the ones that God has called. And this Bible is full of that God has to call you first, and I'll cover some of that in a minute. Then he said, this is eternal life, that they might know the only, the true God. So, which is God, the true God, and Jesus Christ. So Jesus is saying the true God is God the Father and Jesus Christ. And we know from John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Lord was with God, and the Lord was God, and talked about God and Jesus together. Now turn back to John 4. And there's three particular things here that inspired me to give this sermon. It says, true worshipers. Now we're going to worship the true God. It says, true worshipers shall worship the Father. And see, when we come, and the true worshipers shall worship the Father and then in spirit and in truth. And then the Father is searching them out. So this verse has three things. It tells us the true worshipers will be worshiping the Father. Then it tells us we have to do it in spirit and in truth. Then the third one, it says the Father is searching such to worship him. So here again, we have the Bible telling us that the Father has picked us out. You didn't decide to follow Jesus. You didn't discover what the truth of this Bible is. God called you, and he opened your eyes, which I'll show in a minute. And here it says, and I never noticed this verse before, the Father is searching the world to decide who he wants to call. Now, he is looking for the ones who believe and will worship him in truth, who believe the Bible is inspired, and who believe the Bible is literal. And if you don't believe those two things, you will not find the truth and God will not call you. I know 47 years ago, I came to the conclusion, a woman that lived next door to me when I was young said how the way she knew that God was a true God is he created the universe and the universe was perfect. So that proved there was a God. And then I said, well, God, if you can create this whole universe perfect, you shouldn't have a hard time keeping this Bible right. So that's when I said, this Bible is inspired, and there I might not understand it all, but you shouldn't have a hard time doing that. And then I think God looked down and said, well, let's see how much you believe that, Gordon. We'll show you a few things, and we'll see if you are willing to follow it. Now, the Father is working out. He is looking for the ones who he believes that will come and worship him. After he decides that, what will he do? Turn to John 6:44. So he's looking around. He decides, this is who I'm going to call. In John 6:44, Jesus says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. So, we can't go to Jesus. God sent Jesus. God the Father is drawing you to Jesus. And if you look over in verse 65, he repeats it. And he said, therefore I say unto you, that no man can come unto me except we're given him to him of the Father. Now, why doesn't God just draw you to himself? Why doesn't he draw you to, why is he drawing you to Jesus? Well, the main reason is because we have been cut off from God the Father since creation. Man has never had access to God the Father except during creation. And I gave this sermon in Fort Wayne last week, and somebody came up and talked about, well, the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, and that's where God the Father is. And they emailed me this, and I said, that's true. But the people didn't have access to the Holy of Holies. The high priest had access to the Holy of Holies. The high priest represented Christ going into the Holy of Holies when he dies. The Lamb represented Christ as being the offering. And when Christ comes out of that Holy of Holies, he's going to put his hand on Satan and bound him. That part hasn't done yet. Christ is in the Holy of Holies right now. So, he didn't call you to him because he has to reconcile you to God. And return to Romans chapter 5. In verse 8. But God commanded his love toward us. This is how much God loves us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You didn't deserve it. Christ died for you. Much more, thou being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For, now when you're justified by his blood, God shed his blood, our sins are wiped clean at that particular time. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. So when Jesus Christ died, he reconciled you to God the Father. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You're not saved by his death. His death just reconciles you to God the Father. And then, of course, if we read in the book of Hebrews, Christ died there. But when Christ died, the veil was torn open in the temple, his flesh that was torn open, and that represented the Holy of Holies. Now when we pray, we can go into the Holy of Holies. We go into God the Father and pray. Jesus Christ is our high priest sitting on the right hand, and he'll be our high priest when he returns and be King of Kings. So we're reconciled to God by his death. Now, and what does God have to do after we are reconciled like that? Turn to Luke 24. In verse 44. So now God has chosen you, and then he had Christ die, and he draws you to Jesus Christ, and he died to reconcile you back to God the Father. Then he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled that was written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Now, if some of you don't know or don't realize, the Old Testament is written in the law of the prophets and the Psalms. And one day I was visiting an elderly person. That's when I was younger. And her name was Mrs. Potter, I believe it was. And Freeman remembers her very well. She had an Old Testament laying there. And right on the front of it, it said the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. And I always like to find something outside, because when the church tells me something, I want to prove it. I believe what they say, but then you got to prove it. And there was the Bible, the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Everything written in the Old Testament of Jesus Christ, Jesus says, will be fulfilled. Now look at 45. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Now, he didn't have the Holy Spirit. He opened their understanding before they had the Holy Spirit. Now, this bothered me when I was coming into church years ago. I'd read the book. I was understanding it. And then I read, you got to have the Holy Spirit. Well, how do you get that? You got to be baptized. Well, I wasn't baptized. Well, how can I understand with the Holy Spirit if I'm not baptized and I don't have it? Well, I found this verse after I was baptized. And this is the one that I would tell anybody and anybody the day it's not baptized. The reason you understand it, because God opened your eyes. The Holy Spirit is not in you. The Holy Spirit will be with you. And I'll show you a verse that says that later on too. So he opened their eyes. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. He was with them, and later he will be in them. Now, you've been reconciled to God. We need to worship him in spirit. But the Bible says we're carnal. That means you don't have the Holy Spirit. That means all you have is the spirit of man. Turn to Romans 7:14. Romans 7:14 says, for we know the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. And the carnal means our normal human flesh before we receive the Holy Spirit. Paul said, but I am carnal, but we know the law is holy and it's spiritual. But if you want to know what law it is, you just look up in verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid, no. Had I not known sin but by the law? For I had not known the lust except the law said, thou shalt not covet. So he's talking about the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments are spiritual. You can keep it in the letter to a certain degree, but you can't keep it spiritually. Once you have the Holy Spirit, and you attempt to, I'll give you a couple examples. The Old Testament says don't commit adultery. The New Testament says don't even look at another woman lustfully. Well, if I don't do that, I can't commit adultery. The Old Testament, thou shalt not kill. Now, this is one to get all of us. The New Testament says, but if you're angry at your brother, you've already committed murder. How many's guilty? All of us. And we continue to be guilty. But with the Spirit, we can learn to control our emotions and so forth. And now look at chapter 8 and verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The people in the world that do not have the Holy Spirit, that God has not called, cannot keep the law of God spiritually. Now, in the Old Testament, if they kept it in the letter of the law, they were prospered. God prospered them because they keep it in the letter of the law. Once you keep it in the spirit of the law, you are also keeping it in the letter of the law. You are just going beyond it. And then Christ has to give us his spirit for us to do that. Then in verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So all the time I was 19 years old until I was about 35 when I took my first plain truth, I wasn't really pleasing God. My life was better. I lived by a lot of God's laws, and I prospered because of it. I believed you shouldn't commit adultery, and I was living by it. And when I was in the Methodist church, they sent me a letter one day and said, if you give so much money, you get your name. We're building a new church. You get your name on the front pew, first, second, third, fourth pew. So I figured it up, and I was only $100 short of getting moved up a pew. So I sent them the $100. Now, then I kept reading the Bible, and then the Bible said, well, when you give to be seen of man, he said, you already got your reward. I said, oh, I don't want my name on that pew. So I went and told him to take my name off of the pew. And this is before I really knew about Worldwide Church of God. I was trying to live by the letter of the law. They argued with me a little bit, and then they took it off. And then about a month later, or two or three, I don't remember how long, said, Mr. Broccoli, I hear you gave all the furniture to Dr. Fribley's office. That was the head minister. No, I didn't donate any to Dr. Fribley's office. So I went down and looked, and there's a plaque on the wall, Gordon and Jackie Broccoli donated the furniture. And I said, take it down. Because my Bible says if I'm being rewarded to be seen, I've got my reward. But if I don't, God's going to reward me. And I just figured his might be a shade better. So they took it down. And then later on, I left the church. And every time I would talk to him or show him something, that I thought I could change that church. And I found out I can't change anybody. And they would just say, oh, Gordon. So I finally left. And then when I was in the United Church, before this church started, not the United, when I was at the end of Worldwide, I would see how what was changing. We always went out to eat, and I was sitting with a group of people, and I kept telling them what was going on. And this one woman said, well, if you don't believe it, why don't you just leave? I thought, that's a good idea. So I followed her advice, and I left. But, of course, being a minister, literature was sent to us all the time that you guys didn't know was going on. It was Protestant literature. And he said if I stuck around long enough, I'd finally get it. And he's probably right. If I stuck around long enough, I'd have probably got it. But I didn't stick around. I decided I wanted to follow the Bible and to follow God. Now, in verse 9, it says, but you are not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we have to have that Holy Spirit. We have to be called. Now, go back and go to verse 6. For to be carnally minded, that's without God's Spirit, is death. And that's the penalty. When you're not going to have, you either have eternal life or death. But to be spiritually minded is life, eternal life, and peace. And that's where the peace that we want. Now, you look back at 7:12, we'll quote this verse here. Wherever the law is holy and the commandment holy, just and good. So all the laws are good and they're not done away with. Now, so with our carnal mind, we cannot worship God in the Spirit. So we have God's Spirit. We need God's Spirit to keep a spiritual law, to worship God the Father in spirit. When we don't have God's Spirit, how can our carnal mind worship him? Well, I'll tell you what we shouldn't do. Turn to Mark 7. And we'll look at verse 6. Here's what happens when you don't have the Holy Spirit. Mark 7, verse 6. And he answered and said unto them, what has Elias prophesied of you hypocrites? As it is written, this people honor me with their lips, but with their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for the doctrine the commandments of men, not the commandments of God, when you the commandments of man. Laying aside the commandment of God, You hold the tradition of men. Of course, back then, they was washing the pots and cups and many other things. Now I can put in there Christmas, Easter, Sunday, and you're saying that's not a commandment of God, and we follow the traditions of man. And we do follow some traditions of man, Thanksgiving, if it goes along with what God wants us to do. And in verse 9, and he said unto them, full well you reject the commandments of God, that you may keep your own tradition. And we have to keep the commandments of God. And if we just kept one, if our politicians kept one, don't lie, they'd all be fired and we'd have to put in a whole new crew of men. But it's so simple, and the Bible says it is simple to do that. And look at verse 12, and you separate, was talking about in the verses before, honor your mother and father. Then it's when they're not, when they wasn't doing it, you make the word of God to none effect in verse 13 through your tradition, which you have delivered and many things to do. Look down in verse 20. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth a man, for from within and out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, breaking the commandment, fornication, breaking the commandment, murders, breaking the commandment, getting angry, thefts, breaking the commandment, covetousness, breaking the commandment, and weakness and deceit, lasciviousness and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. Of course, pride is what took Satan down. So it shows here that's the wrong way to do it. When you have a carnal mind, you decide to keep the traditions of man. And when I started keeping all the holy days, the one that got me was, not that got me, but it was New Year's Eve. And we always went out and celebrated on New Year's Eve, and I hadn't told my wife anything about it yet. And I said, I don't think I'll go out and celebrate. She said, you don't mean we have to quit this one too? And I said, yeah, that's one more. Now she supports me to the hilt. I have a wonderful wife. I've been married 58 years, and I'll give you men a lot of advice if there's some new ones here. When I got married, my wife said, you want to be right or you want to be happy? I told her I want to be right. 30 days later, I said, no, honey, I want to be happy. And but that is a joke now. That don't mean the woman's over the cross. That's a, don't get this started. Gordon said the woman's at the head of the house. But we better love each other. And if you love each other and you take care of each other, then you don't have that problem. Now, how does the Holy Spirit help you? How can we learn from the Holy Spirit? Turn to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 2. And look at verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. For it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So he's talking to the church, but he said, it never has even entered into the heart of man, or he understand or understand anybody, what God has prepared for those that love him. Do we know what God has prepared for those that love him? Do we know that when Christ comes, this vile body we have will be changed like to his glorious body? Do you know in 1 Corinthians, John 3, 2, it says, now you are a son of God. I don't know what you'll be like, but you know you'll be like him. Do we know that? Do we understand that? We understand that God called us to be a part of the family, the family of God. And then in verse 10, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. The way we understand the two scriptures I just quoted you was by his Spirit we understand him. Angie's not here today, but she was in, from the time she was probably a child, 5 years old, then they sent her to religious school, and she was in that, and her mother and father were both religious. She studied the Bible and everything, and I went to get a massage from her, and she started asking me questions, and then she made a comment. It's like I've never read the Bible. Now, I didn't see that. When I went to college, when I was 19, I started studying the Bible. And then 35, when I started seeing this, I didn't think I'd never read the Bible. She said, it's like I never read it. Why didn't I see that? Why didn't I see that David has not ascended to the heavens? We're blinded. And all of us are that way, but it's just a statement that even helps me to see that we need to surrender and realize that God is revealing this knowledge to us. And in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world. Now see, there's another spirit. You got the spirit in man, you got the spirit of God, and there's a spirit of world that'll plant thoughts in your mind, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. So it's for us to understand what God has planned for us, and the world does not understand. Go try and tell them. You know, I've tried to tell them, and nobody listens to me. I used to run service calls, and I'd go in people's houses and start talking religion. One woman, I was in her house, and what I was telling her, she said, yeah, I agree. And I knew she's in the Methodist Church, but I was probably in my 30s, and she was as old as I am now. I said, well, how do you know all this? She said, I used to sit on my grandfather's knee, and he told me the Methodist Church believed it years ago. But they water it down and water it down, and she knew everything that I was telling her. So a lot of the churches knew it, and they keep watering it down. But it's the Spirit that reveals it to us. Verse 13, for which things also we speak, not the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself shall not be judged by no man, be judged by God. The last part of verse 16 says, but we have the mind of Christ. That's what we are developing. Jesus Christ said he was the Word. Here is the Word in print. So this is Jesus Christ in print to teach us, and we need the mind of Christ. But do we have it? Look at chapter 3. I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, for you're still carnal. Now he's talking to the church. He said, I can't even speak to you spiritually because you're still carnal. Even as unto babes in Christ, I have not fed you with milk. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear, neither are you now. And what was their problem? For you are carnal. Whereas there is among you envy, strife, and division. You are carnal, and you walk as men. For while some say I am of Paul, another says I am Apollos, another says you are carnal. So when you start having division, and you're following different people and different leaders, then God says, I still got to be feeding you with milk, because you're not ready for the strong meat yet. So we can look around and see the churches of God are not ready for strong meat yet, or at least some of them are not. And that was God's church. He didn't do away with the church. He just said he had to correct them. Now, how do we get the Spirit? Well, we first seen in Luke 24, 44, and 45 that he had to open our eyes. But then in Acts 2, verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent you and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So even after when God opens your eyes and you see it, and you do repent of your sins, and you do want to go the other way, it's still a gift. You didn't earn it. You're still a sinner. We're still a sinner today. And the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is made unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord shall call. So we see that the Lord has to call us. Now turn and repent. Turn to Acts 5 and verse 29 and 32. Then Peter And the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So even after we repent of our sins, we want to turn and go the other way. We've got to obey God, not what man tell us to do. In verse 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to them that obey him. So we have to repent, change, want to turn and go the other way, and we got to obey him. And obey him, and obey him. I've been in the church 44, I took the first plain truth in 1965, baptized in 68, and you never quit learning. And once you think you got there, see, you pray for God to show you your secret sins, but don't show them to me all at once. Because it showed me a little, just a little one. One at a time is a plenty for me to work on. So we have to continue to obey. Now, Matthew 4:4, I'm not going to turn there. It says, live by every word of God. Matthew 4:21 talks about the spirit of the law, which I've also covered. Now, how do we worship him in truth? We see now God searches this out. He calls you to Jesus Christ. You got to have the Holy Spirit. You got to repent. God's got to open your eyes and call you. How do we worship him in truth? It says we worship him in spirit and truth. Turn to John 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Here is truth. This Bible, we might not understand it all. I mean, I can remember sometimes I didn't understand it, and then all of a sudden I could. So I got to saying, well, when I read something, I parked it over here. When I proved it, I moved it over to here. Because there's things that I understood the church said and made sense, but I didn't find it in God's Word. His Word is truth. Now, turn to John 8. Verse 43. I'll find it here in a minute. I usually put a sticky note in there so I can get there before you do. I don't want you to see how dumb I am, so I get a little aid there. John 8, 43. Why do you not understand my speech? This is what Jesus is saying. Why don't you understand? Even because you cannot hear my word, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks, he spoke a lie. He speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So we see in those two verses. And then let's go ahead and read verse 45. And because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convinced of sin, I say the truth, and you will not believe me. For he that is of God heareth God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. So you have to believe the Bible's right. And if when you don't understand something, then you need to get somebody to explain the scripture to you. It doesn't always have to be a minister. There might be somebody else can explain it to you. Which, if they can't, then you should go to the ministry. Of course, now you can send an email to headquarters and you can find out all kinds of things. It did say before Christ come, knowledge would increase. And I mean it increases. A guy who worked for me pulls out his little cell phone. Well, no, it's not a cell phone. It's an iPod. And him and another guy was talking the other day. Boy, how they like that. You can do this. And he can look up and tell me what the weather's going to be. And he can look up and tell me the price of gold. And these two people were talking. And the one guy said, what I like about this now, I can talk into my iPod and it'll talk back to me. I said, you guys went all the way around. See this little thing here? I can talk into this and it'll talk back to me. You know, all of that, that's what they go around to do, and it is so complicated, and I always have a method, and I try and use it in my sermon, too. I believe in the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid, and that's calling me stupid. if I don't keep it simple. Of course, I don't have a problem with that because I don't know that many big words, so it's easier to keep it more simple. Okay. Now, read, and we read verse 46 and 47. Turn to John 14:17. Even the Spirit of truth, which whom the world cannot receive. See, here again, everybody cannot see and understand it. If God doesn't open your eyes, if God doesn't call you, then you try and explain this to somebody else, they can't do it. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither it knows him, but you know him, for he that dwelleth with you and shall be in you. See, we know him. You notice he said that this is before the Holy Spirit was given. He dwelleth with you. You don't have to be baptized to understand the Word of God. God can open your eyes and he'll dwell with you. And then when you're baptized, he will dwell in you. It says in, let me see if I got that on the first page. I have, but anyway, there's a verse in the Bible I don't have it written down here that God, Jesus Christ, dwells in you. He's living his life again in you. It's not you that's doing it. But here it shows you that he will dwell with you and he shall be in you. Turn to John 15. Verse 26. For when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. See, the Father still exists, even though Jesus Christ tells us that he created the world by the Father. God created the world through Jesus Christ. There's three places that I've got down here that I can't cover, but it does tell you that here Jesus said, I'll send you the Spirit from the Father. When he prayed to him, he said, who's going to resurrect him? God the Father is going to resurrect him and give him the life back that he had before. So when the Comforter comes, he'll send you from the Father the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father, and he shall testify of me. So God the Father is the one that has the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ gives it to you. Look at 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So I'm showing you here how we're going to live by the Spirit of the truth. Because you're supposed to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And in verse 13, howbeit then, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Once we have the Holy Spirit in your mind and you're growing, he'll guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, he shall speak, and he will show you things to come. If we understand prophecy, and you know, Tkach come along and said, we're too much prophecy, get off of prophecy. I gave a sermon here in December the 12th, I think. Jesus said, show me your God. Show me who's the real God. How do you do that? He said, show me in the past what you said would happen and show me where it happened. Then show me what's going to happen in the future and I'll watch to see if it does. That's how we know it's a true God and God's true word. So I went to Daniel 2. God told Daniel there'd be four resurrections, Babylon and the Medo-Persian and the Grecian Empire and the Roman Empire, and the Roman Empire will last down to Christ come. So I look back, that's what he told him. They said to be seven resurrections of the Holy Roman Empire. Five in the New Testament, it's five was, one is, when Mr. Armstrong was alive, and one to come. So I can look back, and I get the history books out, and I see, an interesting thing about this, God told you what the first king was, Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't tell you what the second one was, nor the third, nor the fourth. You have to go to history and find it. God wants you to do a little something, not just sit around and read something and do it. So we find out who they are. Then you look in history, and there they are, all four of them. Roman Empire took over. The Roman Empire's had 10 resurrections. Seven of them are holy resurrection. You can prove that. And So if you want to research it all, you can prove it. But also he tells you right here in this verse, he'll show you things to come. What do we think is supposed to come? 10 nations in Europe are supposed to unite. Germany is ahead, and he'll be over that. Are you watching that? When you see that, it should increase your faith. And our church has wrote that clear back in 1939. Mr. Armstrong said there'd be two world powers. There'd be Russia, which would unite with China, and there'd be a 10-nation European empire, and Germany would be the head. Then there was a world war, and Germany went down. And I sat in the Indianapolis church and listened to Mr. Armstrong say on tape, about 1946, Germany is laying in ashes. It will rise and lead the 10-nation European empire. Now, going pretty good. I'd have got a little discouraged when Russia put the wall up and separated East Germany and West Germany. I said, aha, he's wrong. He said, no, that wall will come down. Germany will unite. It will be 10 nations, and Germany will be the strongest. Did any of you know who's the strongest over there now between the 10 nations? And all you got to do is just read some financial letters. It's Germany. Even I mentioned in the last sermon, there was a Polish man came and said, we're only going to survive by Germany. And he says, I know this is something terrible to say for a Polishman with Germany whip their fanny. And he said, for me to say, we got to rely on Germany. Germany is the leader of is going to be the leader of the 10 nations. So his Holy Spirit will show us things to come. If you read, if you study, if you ask God for wisdom, and you learn to obey God and go through his truth. Sanctify them in verse 17:17 I read before, thy word is truth. Now, how do we worship him in truth? Now, here is a list of things which the world doesn't see, which the Spirit of truth has revealed to us. Now, I did this about a year ago. I was thinking to myself, how do I know? I'm always checking. Am I in God's church? How do I know it's right? I just don't assume what I know. So I sat there and these things came to my mind and I put it in my computer. Real doctrine and false doctrine. Now turn to 2 Corinthians 11. This was a research I did on my own a year ago to prove that I was in God's church, that I wasn't being blinded, that I knew what was going on. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. 2, I'm a jealous God over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means that the serpent has beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And the interesting about this word, I've made it a lot more difficult, but it says the simplicity that's in Christ. You know, it's not tough. When God opens your eyes, it's in simplicity. It's logical. But because you think it's logical, don't think a logical person will understand. Again, I'll mention Angie. She said, my husband will understand this. I said, your husband will not. She said, this is logical. I said, yes, it is. My husband is a logical man. He will not understand it. Now, and I probably only told her to shut up about 500 times. And when people come to ask me for advice, Dusty, he went away. He come to me and he wanted to know, Garvin, that's an old minister. Dara sent him to me. My wife's not in the church. And he said, go talk to Gordon, because his wife is not in the church. So he come to me and he said, Dara told me to come and talk to you. Because my wife's not in the church. What is your advice? And I said, shut up. And he told me about 6 or 9 months later, he said, you know what the first two words you ever said to me were? And I said, no. He said, you told me to shut up. Now, that time his wife was attending, and his wife said, it's the best advice you ever gave him. God will open the eyes. We cannot do it. It's simplicity. Look in verse 4. If he that cometh preaches another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you have received another spirit, there's a spirit in man, and there's a Holy Spirit, but there's another spirit out there trying to affect your mind, which you have not received, for another gospel that you have not accepted. Look at verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. People that are preaching another Jesus. When we talk about, well, I'll go a little bit farther now. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, Satan's ministers, be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, if you go out in the world and we talk about Satan, we talk about a red devil down the fire, and this is what Satan is. Your Bible says Satan has ministers that appear as ministers of righteousness. They appear as apostles of Jesus Christ. So you better do your research. You want to be sure you're following God's word. So I did this, and I said, how am I going to prove this? Then I started looking at all the different scriptures otherwise. I picked on born again. We're not born again until we are spirit. And we'll be at the resurrection. Christians believe today that you're born again when you're baptized or when you accept Jesus. So there was a doctrine that I don't believe. Jesus said unto them, truly and truly I accept you, a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's John 3:3. So if you want to, well, let's turn there. Let's go to John. I'm used to speaking in Fort Wayne, and you only have about an hour there. But I got 45 minutes to go with you. No, I'm not going to go that long. But we turn to John 3:3. Jesus said, and said unto them, and truly I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, if we know what the kingdom of God is from Daniel 2, Christ comes and smashes these 10 nations, and he sets up a kingdom that's going to last forever. If you understand what the kingdom of God is, in which these seminars were given to try and show people what the kingdom of God is, you can't see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Now, if you look down in verse 5, and Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I accept you be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So we to be born again, we have to be, when we are, we'll be able to see the kingdom, we'll be able to enter the kingdom. Then go to verse 8. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it comes or where it's going to go. So is everyone that is born to the Spirit. Well, if I was born to the Spirit, I could disappear. You wouldn't know where I was till you heard me go by. That must have been Gordon. See? So you're not born of the Spirit until you're spirit. You're not born when you're baptized. You're begotten with the Holy Spirit. And then verse, well, I'm just going to quote verse Corinthians 15:10. Now this I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. In this flesh and blood form, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. To inherit the kingdom of God, to see the kingdom of God, to enter the kingdom of God, you got to be spirit. But the other churches teach the fact that you are born again. So there's many doctrines that you need to search out. They say Sunday is a day to worship. The Bible says Saturday is. And I've got Catholic doctrine that admits that they changed Saturday to Sunday. And I have a guy that worked for me. He's really a highly intelligent fellow, and he used to be a Catholic. And he got involved in studying the Bible. And when he did that, I was afraid that when he learned what I thought, that I'd be in trouble. See? But when he got done, he says, And he knows that he's a lot of guys opened his eyes to a lot of things. He says, there's a guy, another guy works for him by the name of Phil Lambert, and he went to a Protestant church, and Phil finally told him one day, why don't you just shut up and go to church? And he told me, he said, Phil's a Catholic. And I said, no, he goes to the Protestant church right down the street. He said, no, Phil's a Catholic, because they are doing what the Catholic Church said. The Catholic Church admits, they admit this. I'm not bad-mouthing them. They admit that this Bible's not right, that the Pope has a right to change it. And this guy that's doing this study, and he said, at least they're not lying to you. And the Catholic Church is not lying. They say they can change it, and they change it. They're the one that changed Christmas. They're the one that changed the Sabbath. And they know that. And I've got literature preached out by them. But the Protestants, this guy thinks he's a Protestant, and my other guy thinks he's a Catholic. But they don't follow the Bible. We end up following man. The Bible says if he'd be in the grave 3 days and three nights, it's the only sign he's going to give. The churches say he's in there a day and a half. And he said it's a prophet of the sign of Jonas. So he was in there 3 days and three nights. Now, when I was reading about the literature in this church, my wife asked a good friend of mine that went to a Baptist church to invite me to church. My wife doesn't know to this day that I know that. So I went to the church, and I took my 13-year-old daughter with me, and it happened to be Easter time. And this minister was up there, and he says, I know the Bible says 3 days and three nights, but that's not here nor there. And my daughter, pow, hit me. Now, she's not in the church now. She knows 3 days and three nights, but she's not in the church. One day, God will see that she gets there, and I'd have to leave it in his hand. But there are just so many things that happen through life. The Bible says 3 days and three nights, and you can prove he was in the grave 3 days and three nights. You got to do a little research. You can't believe what Friday is the day before the Sabbath. It's not the day before the Holy Sabbath. And, you know, when he was crucified and then resurrected on Saturday evening, we can prove it. You should prove it. You should know it. You should know why you're here and not be in following man. Man might open your eyes to show you, or God opens your eyes, that sometimes somebody has to end up showing you. He was crucified on, they say he was crucified on Saturday, Friday, and resurrected on Sunday. They say he was born on December the 25th, and you should be able to prove that he was born somewhere during the Feast of Tabernacles or in Trumpets. It's provable, and you should be able to do that. They say you go to heaven when you die. The Bible says you go to your grave, and you stay there until Christ returns. John 3:13. You can, we're in John. Let's look over at 3:13. And no man has ascended to heaven but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now you would think that anybody that read that would understand that. When I showed that to Angie, she says that's what it says. Now she's got an aunt that thanks Gordon, you know, misled her all the time. She sent that to her aunt. She don't see it. It doesn't say what it says. No, that means the body. I mean, they have a way of separating the two, and it gets completely confusing. No man is ascended to heaven. Look at Acts 2:34. For David is not ascended to the heavens, for he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. David is not ascended into heaven. And I can go back into prophecy and show you in Isaiah when he will be resurrected and be king over all Israel just like he was before. And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead will be risen first. Then those which are alive will be there. And also they say there's an immortal soul. The Bible says there isn't. The word soul means living, breathing creature. So I'm going to give you my conclusion here. True worshipers in John will be worshiping the true God in John 17. And in John 4:3, it says the true worshipers will be worshiping God the Father in spirit and in truth. We'll be worshiping the Father in spirit and truth through Jesus Christ. Because God the Father sent Jesus. Jesus had to die and reconcile us back to the God the Father. we have an opportunity to be in the Holy of Holies. In the Old Testament, they were still following Jesus, but the God was in the Holy of Holies. Nobody was allowed to go there but the high priest, which represented Jesus Christ. So to teach that God the Father has to draw us into Jesus, Jesus had to shed his blood, wipe away our past sins, and then die, which reconciles us to God the Father. To worship him in spirit, God has to open our eyes, dwell with us, and then when we're baptized through his spirit, he will reveal his truth to us. But that can be revealed before you're baptized, but then the spirit will be in you. Then we repent and we're baptized to receive the Holy Spirit in us, and we have to obey him. You got to read the word. You got to obey God. Then we can worship God in spirit with Christ actually living in us and through us. Then the Spirit will reveal God's spiritual truth to us so we can worship in spirit and in truth. So in one verse, when I read that, true worshipers will worship the Father in truth and in spirit. And then, but you can't get to the Father except through Jesus Christ. God has to open your eyes. He has to draw you. He's going to search out, find who he wants, draws you to Jesus Christ. Then Jesus Christ says you can't get to the Father except by him. That's true. He has to live a perfect life. He has to die, shed his blood, reconcile us back to God the Father, and then through his resurrection, we will have life. See, I didn't go to 4:30.